So today we're joined by Anne Gracie. Anne writes fun, heartwarming Regents-era romances for Berkeley, USA. She's a national best-selling author in the USA, a five-time reader finalist, and her books have won a number of awards both in the USA and Australia. Her books have been translated into 17 languages. In the past 2 years, she was voted favourite Australian romance author by the Australian Romance Readers Association. Thanks so much for joining us on the Romance Hour, Anne. That's quite the intro.
Thank you for asking me. I'm really pleased to be here.
Oh, it's great. So we thought we would kick off our first show and just have a chat about what romance is and what separates it from other genres. And we thought you would be the perfect person to speak to about that.
Well, there's a few different interpretations of it. But for me, it's a story with a romantic love story at the heart of the novel, or novella. If you took out that love story, the story would have something really important missing. It wouldn't be a complete story. Whereas we have lots of stories which have some romance in it, but they're just a thread. And if you took those out, there would still be plenty of story left. So for me, it's about two people falling in love.
Okay, perfect.
And it ends hopefully. You know,
yes.
It ends on a high note. I love it because I'm a bit of a wimp and I don't like feeling gutted. You know how some novels leave you feeling quite gutted at the end and you think, I wish I'd never read that. It's not like that. It makes you feel good at the end.
Yeah. And what are your thoughts on a happily ever after versus a happily for now?
Well, I think it's a little bit dependent on the author and what they're offering. I think more commonly contemporary romances are happy for now because it's a bit how we live these days, whereas I write historicals and it's not really likely that they could be happy for now and living together. You know, these days we can live together and nobody bats an eyelid, but in the past it was marriage or disgrace, basically. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And what are some, aside from having to have the happily ever after or happily for now, what are some of the other things that you think must be included in a romance novel?
I want a bit of an adventure. I want a bit of a development of the romance. I want to see characters learning and trying to get something, but it's not necessarily what they want is not necessarily what they need. I like to think that, well, often I find there's at least one character who's a bit stuck in a rut, and that's preventing them from finding them the happiness they need. So they need to sort of be jolted out of that rut and to learn and to change. I really like seeing a character develop and change and learn and become a better form of themselves.
Yeah, that's so important, isn't it?
Mm. I love that in any kind of novel, not just in romance, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, you want to see that character grow, don't you?
Yeah.
How do you think the genre's changed over the years?
Well, it's got more diverse and more in a range of ways. In the same sense, more specialised. And as well, I think a lot of romance has become more realistic. I think 10, 20 years ago, it was much more the pure fantasy romance. And I don't mean fantasy in the genre sense. I mean, you know, the girl who can marry a prince and all that sort of stuff. That's the fantasy sort of thing. But I think that there are a lot more really realistic romances that develop the characters so much more. Look, I'm thinking of someone like Kylie Scott. You know, she wrote this brilliant, you know, all of her books are fantastic, but there's one that I think is a great sort of example, and it's called Trust, and it's actually a YA or a young adult or maybe new adult romance. And it's just, you know, I used to work with kids of that age, you know, and I was a counsellor for a while. And, you know, it just comes across as so real and yet so romantic.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think that was, that kind of thing was around in those days. Serena Bowen does similar sorts of things. So I think that's changed. I think the influence of erotica has expanded. I'm not sure if it's expanded the genre or just expanded the kinds of things available. So there are whole erotic lines now that there weren't sort of 20 years ago, 10 years ago.
And do you attribute that to anything like the success of 50 Shades or anything, or you think that was happening before?
I think 50 Shades is a reflection of that rather than a catalyst. I think, well, 50 Shades was writing for fanfic, I think, at the time. And it was a spin-off, I believe, of Twilight. It's just that 50 Shades hit the spot for journalists and everyone else, and it just made such a splash. But I think the, you know, it was the crest of the wave that had been coming for quite a while.
Yeah, no, I agree. And what do you think draws readers to the genre?
To romance?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I think, well, there's two things at work. I think a lot of people are kind of like frightened to try it because they think people are strangely prejudiced against it and are convinced that it's going to be something. I don't know what they think it's going to be. But I've had experience with a number of my friends in particular who had never read romance and wouldn't have touched it with a barge pole, but have come to my books to start with because they are a bit curious about what I've written. And then they say, well, you know, but you must be different. And I say, no, I'm not. And I'll give them other books. And a friend of mine once came and she said, have you got anything else? And she'd read all mine. And I gave her a Jenny Crusie book. And under pain of death if she didn't ever return it, because they weren't really reprinted at that point. And she brought it back and she said, that was really good, ma'am, give me another one. And so she went through all my Jenny Crusie collection and she said in this amazed voice one day, she said, you know, those books, they're really weird. They give you hope, don't they?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, they do. And I think, you know, I get letters from readers who say that they were, you know, stuck in a hospital. Sometimes it's them in the hospital. Sometimes it's they're sitting beside someone in a hospital bed. And they take a romance because it's easy to dive into and it leaves them feeling good. And it's just at some time of pure escapism, feel-good escapism. So I think that's what people generally get out of it. And I think, well, why not? Why wouldn't you? And, you know, I find it really weird that people distinguish between romance movies and romance novels. That a whole lot of people who wouldn't touch a romance novel with a barge pole happily sort of watch reruns of Sleepless in Seattle and While You Were Sleeping and, you know, some of those classic modern-day romances, apart from all the Jane Austen ones, of course. And yet they don't realise that the same kind of feel-good feeling they get from those, they'll get from books.
Yeah. Do you think that has something to do with maybe connecting romance novels with that sort of old school bodice ripping sort of,
well,
you know, genre,
be.
And
I
they
mean,
don't understand how it's kind of evolved and matured?
I don't think they've ever even read any of those old books
either.
Yeah. I think there's just this kind of gut feeling that, you know, romance is not good. So, romance books are no good, so you don't even admit that you've read them. And people don't read them. I had never read them until I started writing seriously. And it was a real eye-opener for me because, you know, I came to the genre with, you know, a bit of cynicism and thinking, yeah, I can do this. And then the more I read and the more widely I read, I just fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And I've never left. You know, it's my preferred reading. Not just romance, but fantasy. But fantasy also has threads of romance. And you know, so, yeah, I think people just don't think that it's a desirable kind of thing to be seen reading. and so they avoid it. But see, it's interesting, in the last 10 years or so, when I first started writing, Australian publishers published no romance at all. There were stories with threads of romance in it, but actual romance where the, you know, the romance was central to the story, no, they didn't. Years before that, I read some Lucy Walker books when I was a kid. My older sister had them, and I read those. But in as far as Australian publishing was concerned, Mills and Boon was a reprint publisher in Australia, not an actual publisher then. And about 10 years ago, Hachette picked up the first romantic suspense and published that, and suddenly Australian publishers started showing some interest in books produced, written by Romance Writers of Australia. And then suddenly you had the boom in rural romance, and you had, you know, on ordinary shelves in Australian bookshops, you would see all those ruralish kind of covers with a girl in a hat and a, you know, a horse or a windmill behind her or something like that, you know, some iconic Australian background and a girl in the front. And suddenly all, you know, Australian romance writers were able to get published in Australia.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. I really appreciate you sharing your insights with us. It's been really interesting.
Oh, my pleasure.